Welcome to the Smart Tech Check podcast, hosted by Mark Vina, your home for candid, insightful, and provocative conversations about the smart home, home automation, security, smartphones, PC and console gaming, and much more.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mark Vina, host of the Smart Tech Check podcast. Today is Thursday, September 18th, 2025. Joining me for today's podcast are Rob Pegoraro, who writes about the tech developments at PC Magazine, Fast Company, and other publications, and John Quain, who writes for the New York Times, Smart Cities, and Tom's Guide. Stuart Walpin has the gumption to be at a Mets game, so we'll have to talk to Stuart when he comes back.
How the Mets did yesterday.
Yeah. Well, if my Yankees get in, well, they are going to get in, but by the hair of their chinny chin chin, you know, they're at best going to be when 92 games, maybe, you know, so maybe. And I don't, Rob, if you saw the game the other night where they were up like 10-1 in the seventh inning and they won barely 10-9.
That's against like the saying we'd do, except we'd lose.
So John, how are you doing?
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Lots happening. Busy September in New York.
Yeah, you were in IFA, and we're going to talk about that along with Rob. We'll get into that in a second. In fact, let me bring the slides up real quick here, and we will chat about it. So before we get into the whole IFA stuff, I do want to talk about Apple's awe-dropping event, which was mostly around, it was entirely around new iPhones, a new AirPods, which are going to be very popular, and new Apple Watches. Let me start with you, Rob. I'm going to get my new iPhone 17 Pro tomorrow. The big news was the iPhone Air, not to be confused with the iPhone 17 Air, because they didn't call it the iPhone 17 Air. They called it the iPhone Air, which leads me to believe that down the road, everything will become an Air. But that's the what was your take on the new iPhones and just the announcement in general?
So, yeah, they're, I don't want to, well, I'm going to say taking a page out of Samsung's book by making an ultra thin phone that is sort of outside the rest of the ones they do. But of course, you can only make it so thin because you still need to have the camera. So now there's this large sort of camera module on the top of it. And they'll probably sell a ton. I mean, lots of people would like the thinnest possible phone, even if it's thin with an asterisk. I will say now they have a legit excuse for not including a headphone jack. It's literally too thin for that.
Well, let me ask you the million-dollar question. And, you know, Apple, in classic Apple-esque, you know, double talk, they described the battery life with the – people love the thinness. I mean, to see this thing is it's a beautiful thing. I mean, the first thing I kind of looked at is, you know, young women – well, all women probably – will love that because they tend to put their phones in their back pocket of their jeans, and this will be a lot less intrusive, and it will make their – the lower part of their body a lot smaller. That's where I'm going. That's not a politically correct comment, but I don't care. But the big question is really battery life. Yeah, it doesn't have many of the pro features of the pro models, but they nailed it on thinness. The question really is battery life. And Apple never uses the language, you're going to get 35 hours of battery life, or you're going to, you know, or here's, we're going from this battery size to that battery size. They say that they really want to talk in the language that a consumer likes to talk about, but they describe it as all day battery life. Now, all day battery life to me is a lot different from the average person. So what's your take on the iPhone Air?
Well, given the fact that they're coming out with this special MagSafe battery pack just for that phone, clearly, they think that enough people will see all day and visualize an asterisk coming into form next to it and buy that. And then it won't be so thin, but presumably it'll charge fast enough. So you can do that and then take off this battery pack, put it in your pocket, bag, purse, whatever. Yeah, we'll see. I'm really interested to learn how reviewers find that battery life is.
John, what was your take?
I was part of the it's just an iterative crowd. You know, I can't find a reason to buy any of the products, even the air, you know, the in-air AirBuds, because the thing that I think was so cool was the live translation capability that they've introduced. I think that is a great feature. Lots of other companies, Time Kettle and all these other companies, have been trying to do this in other individual products, standalone products. Apple putting that into this ecosystem, that actually looks like a winner. However, the software is compatible with older earbuds that they have, so you don't necessarily have to buy something new. You do have to upgrade the OS and the software, but I think that was really the sort of dark horse of that whole presentation.
No, I agree with that. I think, you know, I did play with that as much as you can play at an Apple event. You know, there's a lot of ambient noise, although I did try the new AirPod, the new AirPods, and the noise cancellation is better, and it was actually pretty good. But now that you have they're moving to a sponge like material on the tips, which fit my ears a lot better than the old ones, which tended to pop out. Right. But I agree with you. I mean, we're getting closer to, you know, Rob's dream of a universal translator from Star Trek. So
yeah, Rob, I was thinking the Babel Fish from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which literally fit in your ear.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Well, so anyway, let me start with John. John, was there anything else that jumped out? I mean, are you going to upgrade from an iPhone standpoint?
I wouldn't. And you know, and people who I buy these phones for and stuff, I didn't really find a reason, oh, this Christmas, I'm going to have to buy them a new iPhone. That didn't come up in this. However, that product, the live translation, I just have to say, because another company has been doing their big presentation.
Yes.
Getting really close. So those new glasses from your favorite of mine, Meta, you know, their new glasses, assuming you're talking about battery life, those glasses have an issue with battery life, definitely.
Yeah.
Too short. That product plus this kind of Apple product, now you're getting somewhere. So we're incrementally getting to, I think, where we really want to be. We'll see how these glasses do for Meta. I think they'll do pretty well. But anyway, I think I just had to mention that.
So, Rob, are you going to upgrade?
I'm pretty happy with my Pixel 9 Pro. That's working well. The one comment I will make about Apple's news this week, the thing I've been hearing people talk about more than anything else is not new phones, new software, specifically iOS 26, finally copies the feature that Google's had for Pixel phones for a while, call screening, where your robot talks to the caller saying, what are you calling about? And hold for me, or Apple calls it hold assist, where the phone listens to the hold music so you don't have to. And that right there, don't need to get a new phone, but you do want to install iOS 26 as soon as you can, because those are game changers.
No, in my work, I update to the, I always upgrade to the betas, probably the third or fourth beta. They announced the initial betas in July. And I feel, maybe wrongly so, that when they get to the fourth or fifth version of a beta, it's pretty solid.
That one of these days, it's kind of
one day I'm going to call you and say, oh my God, it blew up all my data. But the one thing I do like about what they did with Mac OS is that the new version of Mac OS allows you essentially to use they've always had this capability, but they streamlined it. So when I get phone calls, I could take my phone calls on my desktop, you know, transferred from my phone in a lot easier way. Again, you could do that before, but they now it's a phone app that it's much more command oriented. And God, thank God. You know, if I'm working out, it happened yesterday that I had my iPad with me, I was able to retrieve a voicemail that was left on my phone from my iPad, even though I didn't have my phone with me. Those are little cool things that do matter a lot. It'll be an interesting holiday season. I'll just conclude saying that there was no surprises. They did not introduce a fold. Although now it's pretty, but it's now getting pretty clear that they're going to do it. I saw a rumor message this morning that seemed pretty solid that they're now starting to tell their phone suppliers expect, and there will be a massive upgrade cycle. I don't think 95% of Apple users will upgrade to foldable phones because the cost is going to be, you know, you think the iPhone 7 Pro is expensive now? Wait till they get to an iPhone.
Leave it to Apple to come up with a $2,000 phone.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. You'll need a loan with that. So anyway, let's go to the next topic here. You know, you guys were at IFA. I didn't go this year.
Yeah.
It is a great event. It tends to be very European centric, which makes sense since it's in Berlin. Lots of great beer. So let me start with John. John, you saw a lot of AI and interesting robotics stuff. Before you get into those two topics, any impressions of the show itself? Was it very busy? I have not looked at what the attendee number looked like. Was it pretty strong? What was your perception?
My perception was it was pretty busy, but you know, it's a consumer oriented show, so lots of people with their families and kids and going and sampling things. The appliance area is huge, giant there, which this trade show is really well known for. So you can go and eat for free among all the cooking demonstrations that are
so ongoing. Good. It's my favorite cooking show.
It is. It is some great, great chefs there. So that's always fun.
Yeah, so John, you were hanging out at the Bosch because Bosch always comes out with great cooking stuff.
Bosch and Siemens and Haier and
the pizza.
Yeah, they pizza. I was having lamb and beef. Oh, it was great. But yeah, one thing though, overall impression is it's becoming more parochial, and that's probably given the political climate may have influenced that as well. A lot of Chinese companies, tons of Chinese companies. Lots of German companies, obviously, because it's in Berlin, but it was becoming more, they're less interested. In years past, they were very much interested in appealing to the North American market. And these past couple of shows, less and less so even now. That I definitely noticed. So if there was one impression I got, that was it. There was sort of a pulling back from trying to appeal to the North American market and expanding eastward, as it were.
Right. Rob, let me get your perspective.
Yeah, same. It's always fascinating to see how the EU, a market that in terms of population is bigger than the US by a huge chunk, where they're going, what they're interested in. You know, obviously, yeah, AI isn't everything. I took a picture of a dishwasher with a little AI button on the controls, whatever it does, I don't know.
I can tell
you. Forks shine even better after they're washed. Yeah, lots of discussion over the effects of tariffs, you know, because which is very much a single country discussion because no one else in the world but the United States is doing this. And so the Europeans are, you know, not quite sure what to make of that. But then again, neither are Americans. One of the most interesting things I saw was not on the show floor, but the Huawei showroom on the Kurfürstendamm, the nicest shopping street in Berlin, which gave off Apple Store vibes, shiny, spotless. And then the sales guy there explained how they, when somebody buys a new phone, they walk through the process of installing a second app store to download installer files for Android apps, which I'm listening to this thinking, this is like the kill chain they outline in a hacker conference talk about how to take control of somebody's phone. Just install this other app store. It'll all be good. And, you know, the U.S. government has tried very hard to ice out Huawei. And from what I saw there, that effort has failed. It's not working.
Some of them were definitely pulling back. But just go back to our AI and robotics.
Yeah.
There was AI everywhere. And as Rob mentioned, washing machines, they've been instituting AI in many of the washing machines there. And part of that is learning what you really want done with your clothes. You know, how dirty are these clothes really? you know, and if you're like me, they're probably pretty filthy, but other people wash more frequently and it's supposed to learn those cycles. And it's more like a learning mechanism to say, okay, he always puts in this much washing detergent, laundry detergent, et cetera. That's pretty much there. But AI isn't also... The big trend was in a lot of appliances, cooking appliances, which again has been done before, but usually the companies were smaller startups with like toaster ovens that know 400 recipes, that sort of thing, or air fryers that do that. Now all the built-in stoves and stovetops and ovens are all coming with that, a very similar feature from Haier, for example, from Siemens, Bosch, all of these companies. So you're going to see it in many more devices. The one hilarious one, which I will try to put a picture on my website on the road to autonomy, because it had like a Mickey Mouse look to it. It was three washers in one, a big big drum for the main washer, and then two small ones on either side. So if you wanted to do your delicates in one and something else in the other, kids stuff in the other, you would have three separate ways to do that. It's supposed to be more efficient is the idea, but it looked really odd. One thing about IFA, the other companies jumped right in. So later, the next day, the very next day, two other appliance makers had put together similar machines. They basically chopped one with two and stuck it on top of their regular laundry machine. Like,
oh my God.
I'm not kidding. They did that. Actually did that.
You know what's really interesting is the that's not a combo. I mean, LG and I think Samsung, I know LG has had combo washers, dryers together, which actually is a pretty popular product. They've gotten a lot more reliable from what I understand. But I can't imagine having three washing. I mean, what kind of family do you have to have that you have to wash that many clothes at the same time?
I mean, it was interesting, but I did want to mention it. Yeah, go ahead. So you weren't going to ask me more about this.
No, I was just going to ask you a question. You talked about the AI stuff. What about the robotics piece? A lot of robot vacuums, I assume, because that's always big.
Robot vacuums, they were all over the place again in evidence. Not a lot has improved on them. You know, there have been those robotic arms that people are trying. The Mars one from Eufy that walks upstairs and
Dreamy. We have to talk about that.
Yeah, they Dreamy walks upstairs too, but it's really a bracket that's sort of like a slinky. It's a reverse slinky. It's all I can describe it if you're old enough to remember slinkies. That sort of climbs up the stairs, but it's usually an extra bracket, something extra you got to put on the machine. So we're not like Dean Kamen, you know, machines that climb up the stairs yet, but they're working on that. They recognize
and that doesn't spill dirt when it's tumbling up the stairs. Interesting. Interesting. So Rob, just flipping back to you. Did you see anything interesting in the robotic side?
The Eufy stair climbing robot, lots of, at this point, like I've given up trying to keep track of robot vacuums. There's so many out there. PC Mag is somebody on staff who was actually there who covers that pretty much full time. The trend I will call out is sort of more an appliance wide thing, which, you know, here the Trump administration, some people want to get rid of the Energy Star program. In the EU, they have a letter grade program. And what I saw this year, notice multiple manufacturers will not just say this is an A-rated washer, dishwasher, whatever. This is 70% better than that, which, given what I've heard about electricity rates in the EU, which we're going to get to in a minute, that would make sense. People pay more for the electricity there than we do here. I think we're at, in Virginia, we're pretty cheap. I think Nevada's cheap. I'm not sure what it's like in New York. And if you're in Hawaii, God help you. You have other things to make up for that.
Well, you know, there's so much stuff that, and since I've been at so many of the IFA events, there's just so much stuff there that it's hard to really drill down. But I'm especially intrigued with the next topic, though, Rob. We're gonna talk about is this whole idea of balcony solar power. You know, it's funny, just being a resident now for over a year in Las Vegas, the only option I have to add solar, and I did actually have a company come out to talk to me about solar. The HOA owns the roof of my building, and for whatever reason, you know, the HOA has regulations. I cannot put solar panels there. Now they're actually rethinking that because there's so much sunshine out here, and the economics are incredible. I mean, I think I'd have to lay out about 18,000 or 19,000, but essentially my bill would go to zero. In fact, I would get some money back every month. And the bigger advantage of going to solar, because, you know, you get so many hours of sunshine per day, because I'm in the desert, that essentially it would be, you know, you're essentially freezing your energy costs forever, or for 25 years, the life cycle. But let's talk a little bit about the balcony piece of that, because I really want to drill into that, because that could be interesting for a lot of people.
Yeah, so it's something you'll notice if you just walk around Berlin streets long enough. You look up and balconies don't just have flowers and flags and whatever. They have the dark blue squares of solar panels. And this is a thing that's really taken off in Germany in particular, in part because electricity rates really jumped up when they realized that maybe it's not such a good idea geopolitically to be beholden to Russian natural gas to power plants. A lot of things lined up to make this possible. They came up with a standard for connecting these things where it's basically the panels. There's a box. You plug that into an outlet. There's basically no installation. You need to make sure it's fastened securely to the balcony so it doesn't go anywhere. That's about it.
Right.
Whereas if you're having rooftop solar installed, we were getting an estimate on that. And first of all, they can't get it done until after the end of the year, which takes away the possibility of getting the tax credit, which that destroys the economics right there. But also because it's a smaller system and you can run it into a battery. So it's a cheap way to augment the power you're getting into your apartment. And people are talking payoff cycles, how many years it takes in saved electric bills to recoup your investment, of like 3 to 4 years, not like 8 to 12, which you get with rooftop.
I want to understand this in more detail, though. And that is, number one, many people have relatively small balconies, and you have to have, for solar to make a lot of sense, you have to have multiple panels. So, the implementation that you saw, whatever the name of the company was, maybe it's multiple companies. I mean, is it practical with an average size balcony to have, first of all, you know, a reasonably sized panel that doesn't cover up the balcony? And then explain to me, once it captures the electricity, how do you get it back? How do you power the rest of your apartment? I'm not completely.
So it's bidirectional. There's a company called, there are people trying to make it happen in the US, and it's really tricky because some utilities really frown on it. Other ones want you to sign an interconnection agreement. There isn't a formalized underwriter's laboratory standard yet. It's still doable. If you go to the solar DIY forum on Reddit, you'll see people talking about setting up plug-in solar themselves. But essentially, the idea is you're not going to replace your entire house's electrical input, but you're doing enough of it. So I'm looking at my notes. Jackery had a setup where the sale price was 1,400 euro for their balcony solar setup, battery included, 4,200 watt panels. And yeah, the cost to install it drops to nothing. It's simpler. It doesn't take a whole lot of space. I've seen enough of these things because, you're not dealing with 20 or so panels on a roof that will provide power to a much larger American and households in Germany had registered formally. Lots of other people had not, because why bother? And it's really interesting, and something like I would certainly like to see, talking of sunny places, Puerto Rico, unstable power grid. That seems like a great place to try to make balcony or plug-in solar happen in the U.S. because we know how to make it work. It's working fine in Germany, and this is a good case for where the U.S. should try to get over the not invented here attitude we sometimes have.
So, John, did you see that? Did you get a chance to see some of this? Patio balcony solar power capability?
I did see several of them. They've been touting them for a few years now, especially at IFA, at this show, and talking to people that have them too in Europe. They love them, so it seems like a really efficient way. You can do it small, in a small way, and it's a small investment, and it's great for, you know, places that maybe have unreliable power too, and or if you still want to make communications connections when the power goes out in emergencies. I just love these systems. I agree with Rob. If we could get the regulations in line with that and allow them here, I think it would go a long way to helping out, especially in places, as you said, with these brownouts in the afternoon, and we're just going to see more of that.
So, guys, before we wrap up, was there anything else that you guys saw at IFA that kind of jumped out at you? I'll start with Rob.
Let's see. I guess, you know, the interest remains undimmed. I saw it seemed as crowded as ever. And, you know, you see families that bring their kids. I think it's like 25 euro for a ticket. So that's why you will be waiting for your free food samples. This is not like going to Costco and you wait 5 minutes. That attention remains undimmed. I thought there was less attention to TVs overall. Samsung is trying to make RGB LED happen, which is basically all TVs are RGB based. That's the color gamut they use. And Sony had a presentation about it where they explained how this is better than mini LED, but in a way where you have to have really good eyes. You have to be a serious videophile connoisseur to see the difference, which from the perspective of people who want a TV to cost less is great. Let the video files go crazy with that. The boring old LED backlit TVs just get cheaper and cheaper all the time.
Right. So, John, just to wrap it up on your end, I think that's an interesting distinction that not a lot of people get. I mean, in the United States, CES is really not a consumer show. It's in the title, but really consumers are really not allowed to go. There are people that sneak in and they bypass.
People say, I wish you could go to CES, and that's how you can tell they've never been to CES.
Right. And it really is for the media and for partnership meetings, essentially. Although there are people who will sneak in, but John, any remaining thoughts on your trip?
Well, in addition to Rob's, yeah, there was a lot less emphasis on TVs aside from Hisense and TCL, which were pushing those RGB mini LED, not micro LED, but mini LED sets. They do look a lot better. They are. I found them pretty impressive. But you're talking scales, you know, size of 110 inches, 116 inches, 130 inches, into that kind of range where they're really quite impressive. But again, he's right. There wasn't a lot of emphasis on televisions. Again, that may be the market. You know, we're used to prices going down all the time. Now they're not for those big TVs because of tariffs and uncertainty about what's going to happen. So even LG, not much on TVs.
Yeah, there was basically nothing about TV. It was all, here's your new fridge. Your,
exactly. It was all AI.
Affectionate intelligence.
Affectionate yes. intelligence. And it was nothing.
Yeah, they coined that last year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was nothing really new about them. And that was really interesting. That whole exhibit, usually half of its televisions, there were no televisions, not a single screen was touted in that. The robots I did want to mention really were interesting. Hisense had their three red RGB robots dancing. They're humanoid dancing robots.
And I don't know, they weren't like three squirrels in a robot suit, though.
They weren't. anything went wrong, the engineers ran out there. I was watching them before the show opened, and they were like, you're in a secret area now. You're not supposed to be here. But the humanoid robots are really an interesting factor coming into these shows. There's going to be more and more of them. I'm sure you guys have seen the competitions in China amongst startup companies, boxing and running robots, which is kind of fun. But I'm sure we'll see a lot more of that. And it got a lot of attention, I have to say, those humanoid robots. Not they're very practical yet, but someday.
Yeah.
Well, let's end it there. What I'm hoping for one day is that there's a robot that can play a tackle position for the New York Giants, so it doesn't
quarterback.
It doesn't commit four penalties on the same drive. Oh my God, I could talk about that forever. Anyway, guys, thanks for taking the time to join me today for our podcast. For our viewing and listening audience, thanks for making the Smart Tech Check podcast part of your day or commute. Please make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons at the end of today's podcast or use these on-screen QR codes to connect with me. You can also follow me on X at Mark Vina Tech Guy. And until next time, have a great week. And Rob and John, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Take care.